I love you people. In fact, I would say I love you people enough that say if someone came to me and said, I've got a child or a grandchild that could use a kidney, and could you see if you're a match? And if I was a match, I'd be happy to give that kidney. So there's a kidney available at any time. I guess I'm saying that right now. There are some days that Jan might tell you that if you ask for one of my kidneys, she might say, how about two for the price of one? No, I'm just kidding. I think she wants me to keep at least one kidney. But here's the thing. Jan and I have just one son, one child. If you ask me to give you one of his kidneys, he's 36 years old, I'm 64. I figure I don't have that many years or decades left. I could spare a kidney. But if you ask me for my sons, the answer is probably already no. Even though I love you and would want to give you anything. That may seem like kind of an extreme example. And we know that a lot of times when people donate organs, it's called the gift of life, because it does provide life for someone else. But did you know, and I know you know this, so I'm just saying it out loud, that the greatest gift God has ever given is the gift of his son. And remember, Jesus was an only child himself, and he was in his 30s when he had to give his life. This whole series in the last few weeks has been about the gifts of God, the gifts from God. And today, the greatest gift is that gift of Jesus. Now, he gave his life so that we could have a relationship with him, so that we could have eternity with him. And I'm thinking to myself, wouldn't there have been another way for God to save us? Surely there'd be another way where somebody wouldn't have to give their kidney or their whole life for us to have eternity with the Father. And I thought of a few. I thought, well, maybe God could have just required church attendance. That seems like that might make sense, don't you think? He could have just given time cards to all the people of the world. And then when you get to heaven, they just check your time card and see if there's been enough church attendance to get in. Maybe what he could have done is, instead of giving his only son to die on the cross, maybe he could have asked for a percentage of our income. And how he would have done that is, at the pearly gates, there would have been tax records being collected, and he'd go back through our whole lifetime and see if we gave enough to get into heaven. Well, he doesn't check our church attendance. He doesn't check our giving to charity. What about hours of prayer? Now, that one really makes sense. I mean, the Bible's full of pray without ceasing, and Jesus even taught his disciples how to pray. How about that? You know, maybe those 2 minutes of pillow prayer could all add up by the end and maybe give us a sufficient amount of prayer time that would provide salvation. How about this one? This is how most people think you get to heaven anyhow. What about good deeds? What if we got grades for goodness? And the more good deeds we did, the better grades we got. And then that's how we get into heaven. And hoping that maybe God would grade on a curve, something like that. What about the absence of all sin? That's a way to get to heaven. Or maybe if I only sinned a lot, or if I was really good, only sinned a little. But that's not what God is doing for this entrance into heaven, this salvation. One more. What if God, instead of giving his one and only son to die on the cross, what if he had just asked for us to remember Scripture? Maybe that would be sufficient. And then I realized, no, that wouldn't be sufficient at all, because the devil himself, Satan, he already knows Scripture forwards and backwards. And he's told Jesus about that many times. Actually, God requires none of the above, does he? In fact, you could have never attended church, never given, never prayed except the prayer of salvation, not done a good deed, not been absent from sin, and hardly read a Bible verse. You can still get to heaven. That's what happened to the thief on the cross. Remember when Jesus was being crucified, one on one side believed in Jesus, and the one on the other side did not believe. The one who believed may not have gotten to church at all, didn't get to put anything in the offering, had not read or maybe had access to, even in those days, to the scrolls to learn about God. Certainly he wasn't absent from sin, because that's why he was hanging on the cross. But do you remember what happened? Is on one side of the cross, someone was told they would be in paradise that day. Not so for the other person. And so for us, it's none of the things I listed that seems like might be another way God could have provided salvation. But it's like the thief on the cross. It comes down to us believing that Jesus is who he says he was, or we don't believe. His only requirement is that we believe. And then here's the good news about all these other things. Once we're saved, we will desire to be active in our local church. Once we're saved, we'll desire to be a cheerful giver. Once we're saved, we'll desire to pray to God without ceasing. Once we're saved, we'll desire to do good. Once we're saved, we'll desire to avoid sin. And once we're saved, we will have the desire to read his word. You know, when it comes to babies, almost stepped on one. Almost everyone loves a baby, do they not? Because babies are cute. Even you've seen some people, not very often, but maybe once in a while you'll see somebody who kind of has an ugly baby. They're still cute, aren't they? And then imagine all of God's creation when it's a baby is cute. Think of all the animals of all kinds, even the ones that, as an adult, they're ferocious, they're mean, they're horrible. But as a baby, they're so cute. When I was in high school, I actually worked on a hog farm for 2 summers. And I got to see pigs, adult pigs, and they're unruly. They are pushy. They're tough as nails, and they're hard to make them mind. Adult pigs are kind of a mess. But one of the greatest things that happened in my 2 summers on the farm was I got to see hundreds and hundreds of baby pigs. And there's nothing cuter than a little baby pig. That pink skin that they have, the little tiny nose, the way that they crawl on top of each other to get warm, or the way they crawl on each other to get their morning breakfast. It's all so cute. Even the little sounds they make are just precious. All babies are cute. All of God's creation is cute. So here's the thing. While everybody loves the baby in the manger because he's cute, not everyone loves the man on the cross. While everyone loves the baby in the manger, not everyone loves the man on the cross. And so at Christmas time, we don't have the cross and the crucifixion and all that's with that. Right here is what we focus on. And maybe not only do we have them at the church here, but some of you probably have a manger scene at your house. And some of you might even have a manger scene outside the house. Tonight we're going to be a live manger scene, a live nativity scene for those that can come. But you know, everything here looks pretty perfect. You've got just the right number of animals, not too many. They're not going to make a lot of noise with one cow, one sheep, one duck, one whatever. And it seems like everybody's dressed up pretty nice. So it's all clean looking. Just even the shepherds, they're wearing their Sunday jeans. And Joseph and Mary, you know, they had a long journey just to get to there. But it's almost like they stopped at the dry cleaner just before they got to the stall so they could look really nice at the manger scene. And then that cute little baby, all perfectly cleaned up, looking nice. And yet the Bible tells us he was wrapped in rags. You know, there was no shower given for Mary. There was no onesie given. There was no fancy clothes. It was really a mess, and yet the manger scene looked so nice. And I think that's probably why everyone loves the baby in the manger, but not everyone. In fact, very few seem to love the man on the cross. But the Father gave that baby from before he came to the earth. He gave him as a gift to us. And not only did the Father give that gift of his Son, but then the Son also gave a gift. He willingly laid his life down. So both of them gifted. Now, where I'm going to read from today is in Romans chapter 5, and this will be my only scripture. It's going to be Romans 5, 12 through 21. And what I want you to listen for, and I'll emphasize it, listen for the word gift in these scriptures. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, the Ten Commandments. But it was not counted as sin because there was not yet any law, no Ten Commandments to break. Still, everyone died. From the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God, as Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ, who was yet to come. But there is a greater difference between Adam's sin and, hear this, God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is the wonderful grace and gift of forgiveness to many through the other man, Jesus Christ. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace, here it is again, and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it. I will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to finish right there. And I've got one more thing to share. Every Sunday, I've told you some story from my childhood about Christmas. Today, I saved that story for the end because I want to make a comparison to my childhood and to everything I've just told you about what gift God has given to us. When I was a kid, I can remember this was in the late 50s and in the 60s, my mom and dad never had money to buy us Christmas gifts on a particular day. And what they would do, and I'm sure many of you have heard of this, they selected gifts and then went to the service desk and put them in layaway. Dave's right with me. And many of you are shaking your heads. What they did was they found the gifts that they wanted, and they put down a deposit, and then they paid a certain amount every week or every month until they had paid the full amount. And once they had paid the full amount, guess what? They could go to the store and say, I'm Bonnie Lines, and I have such and such in layaway, and here's my receipt. I've paid the full amount. And then they go back and give them what's on the shelf in their name. Well, there's actually a definition of layaway that I found, and it says this. It's basically what I just said, but I like the way it says it. Layaway is a system of paying a deposit to secure an item for later purchase. You make a deposit, the item gets put on the shelf, and later you get to take it home when it's fully paid for. And I thought to myself, that's how layaway worked for us kids' gifts. But God has a layaway plan too. And I couldn't find a scripture for it, but it's the theme throughout the Bible. And it's a lot of what I even just read. And here's God's layaway plan. It's a system of God paying full price up front to secure the free gift of salvation and our eternity of being with Him. You see, what God has done is He's already got a gift of salvation for everyone. All the children that are here, all the children that are out there, all the children that might still be asleep or watching cartoons this morning, all the adults in this room and all the adults outside this building. God already has his own layaway plan, and He has salvation on a shelf, and you don't have to make payments because it's already been paid for fully. But what we do need to do is believe. Just like the fellow on one side of the cross, when he believed, he got the gift, the free gift, the generous gift, the gracious gift of salvation. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the gift that many of us have already received. And stay close by us and help us to grow in that gift. But I pray if there's anyone here, any soul that has not gone to your store and asked for their salvation on that shelf, that they would do it even right now, even before they walk out the building. And I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think if you'll stay in your seats, there's some more activity to happen next. You're up.